election. Asked rhetorically what had happened to Carter's announced firm position on the Middle East, and then proceeded to answer its own question. Ever since his meeting with US Jews, time, July 18, Carter had softened his attitude toward Israel without technically changing his position. Example, lately there has not been any mention of a homeland for Palestinians, but instead reference to a Palestinian region tied to Jordan. He obviously wanted to avoid a meeting with Begin that ended in open disagreement. Besides, recalling Carter's earlier disastrous encounter with Rabin, one official explained, Carter must have realized that his tough attitude toward Rabin did not pay off. Instead of movement, he got Israel to dig in its heels. Carter must have seen that to get the best results, he must play the pussycat and he was the pussycat. But what results Carter got, apart from a friendly atmosphere that might prove to be useful later, is not clear. As far as is known, Carter simply did not choose to press his earlier prescriptions for Israeli concessions, including the Palestinian homeland and substantial withdrawal from occupied territories to pre-1967 boundaries. Begin in turn sidestepped the thornier issues, emphasis supplied. It is obvious from the results of President Carter's meetings with Rabin and Begin, that the Israeli partisans in this country were not heeding the advice of Handelman and Peeled, to the effect that Israel's best interest would be served by supporting US efforts in the Middle East, and that failure to do so would be a great disservice to Israel. In late summer 1977, Secretary Vance made a second trip to the Middle East where his worst fears were confirmed. The results of his trip are summarized in a report appearing in US News and World Report entitled After Vance's Trip, Peace No Closer in Mid East. Despite 6 months of intensive work, with President Carter deeply involved, the US still is as far away as ever from achieving a negotiated peace between Israel and the Arab countries. Hardline in Israel. In terms of significant agreements, nevertheless, Vance collected no more this time than from his first Mideast trip last February. He told a news conference in Jerusalem, "In the discussions here in Israel, we did not narrow the gap any further." Vance had hoped that he could move the two sides close enough together to warrant a full-scale peace conference in Geneva in October, a development Carter optimistically had predicted after his meeting in Washington in July with Israel's new and conservative Prime Minister, Menachem Begin. Instead, Begin greeted the secretary in Jerusalem with a hardline stance that seemed to rule out a return to the Geneva talks anytime soon. Israel, Begin insisted, would never sit down at the conference table with the Palestine Liberation Organization, as demanded by Arab nations, even if the PLO formally recognizes Israel's right to exist as an independent country. The Prime Minister was equally adamant in declaring that Israel would never give up the occupied West Bank of the Jordan River for creation of a Palestinian homeland, an Arab proposal publicly supported by Carter. Said one Israeli foreign ministry official after the Vance Begin talks, "We will never give back the West Bank to anybody. If Washington pressures us to do so, the peace process collapses, and the United States loses." Emphasis supplied. The Wall Street Journal of August 11, 1977, summarizes the results of Secretary Vance's trip in an article, entitled "Vance Concedes That Talks with Begin didn't narrow gap between Israel, Arabs," the pertinent portion of which is quoted as follows: "Jerusalem chances of a Mideast peace conference this year never bright seemed dimmer than ever as Secretary of State Cyrus Vance concludes a six-nation tour of the region today. His effort to close the negotiating gap between Arabs and Israelis has had only limited success. Substantial, perhaps irreconcilable, differences remain on key issues. These include the extent of Israeli withdrawal from occupied territories, how to resolve the Arab-Palestinian problem, and the nature of future peaceful relations between the two sides. The peace-making effort hasn't halted." Next month at the United Nations General Assembly meeting, Mr. Vance will hold a series of meetings with Arab and Israeli foreign ministers in hopes of closing the gaps between their positions. His chances of success, however, are problematical. Despite progress on some matters, 2 days of talks here with Prime Minister Menachem Begin, who is deeply suspicious of Arab motives, didn't bring the sides much closer, Mr. Vance conceded. Emphasis supplied, the U.S. News & World Report, September 5, 1977, edition, gives its analysis of the reason for Prime Minister Begin's uncompromising attitude. Carter's public statements on the shape of a Mideast agreement apparently have done much to convince the Arabs that the US is genuinely interested in a just peace, and that they can expect fair treatment from Washington. As a result, the Arab position today appears more moderate than ever before. We believe, Vance said in Israel, that the Arabs are sincere in their desire for peace, and we conveyed this to Mr. Begin. Keys to Begin's stand. What is behind the uncompromising attitude Vance found in Israel, a nation that only a few weeks ago worried over worsening relations with the US? The amiable reception that Carter gave Begin in Washington did much to strengthen the new prime minister's position at home. Polls show him riding high, and his image as a statesman continues to grow, enabling him to stand firm in his position. Also, Israeli officials are convinced Begin has the support of a large part of the Jewish community in the US. They believe, therefore, that Begin can successfully resist Carter, even in Congress, if the US attempts to pressure Israel into making concessions to the Arabs. The same edition of US News and World Report, September 5, 1977, Secretary of State Vance returns from Mideast making plain he feels Israel is being obstructionist. Carter tells the nation at his press conference that Israel acts illegally in settling West Bank. Why hasn't Carter reacted more strongly to Israeli Prime Minister Begin's tough independent line? Best guess, President is unwilling just now to risk provoking US Jewish community. Emphasis supplied, this strange and sudden reticence of the Carter administration was not a report to the Los Angeles Times from Cairo that aligned September 4th, amid signs of growing Arab disillusionment with the Carter administration. Foreign ministers of the Arab League met in Cairo Saturday to hammer out a unified strategy. In the words of one observer, it will force President Carter to the moment of truth on the issues of Israeli settlements and dialogue with the Palestinians. Although the Carter administration has condemned Israel's recent establishment of new West Bank settlements and made conditional overtures to the PLO, which the Palestinians rejected, even the moderate Arab countries, such as Egypt, have expressed disappointment that the American stance so far has appeared to be more talk than action. We admire President Carter's statements. Even Yasser Arafat, the PLO leader, has spoken admiringly of them, but we are beginning to see what he said as more posturing than policy, an Arab source said. The Americans condemn the Israeli settlements, but instead of punishing Israel with pressure that only America can exert, they reward Israel-Arab anger over the establishment of more Israeli settlements on the West Bank was further exacerbated here Friday by word from Israel that Ariel Sharon, the Israeli agriculture minister, was proposing an intensive long-range West Bank settlement policy. Coupled with a doubling of the Israeli population to sustain it, emphasis supplied. Notwithstanding Carter's condemnations, Israel continued to accelerate the pace of the settlement program on the West Bank in order to advance its policy of putting facts on the ground. In its September 19, 1977, edition, Time magazine reflects upon the discouragement and disillusionment of the Carter administration. Time learned last week that despite official denials, Israel has started, in addition to the three officially declared new settlements, another three new settlements in the past month, and a fourth is in the process of being manned. Moreover, the controversial plan of Agriculture Minister Ariel Sharon to settle 2 million Jews in occupied lands has the official support of Premier Menachem Begin's government. We will continue to settle, and settling is a long process which must be carried out, said Sharon in an interview last week with Jerusalem Bureau Chief Donald Neff and correspondent David Halavi. Anyone who thinks that this government is going to withdraw from the West Bank is suffering delusions, even though Carter says he has private assurances from all of the leaders that they will be more flexible than their public stance, hopes for a renewed Geneva are dimmer than ever. In an interview with syndicated columnist Trude B. Feldman that appears in a number of Jewish publications around the country this week, the president seemed sobered by the procedural difficulties in bringing the two sides together. Dozens of other foreign policy matters have suffered to some degree, because I've expended so much time on this issue, he said. If our efforts fail this year, it'll be difficult for us